In 1928, at the first National FFA convention, the National FFA emblem was adopted. Since then, it's been revised a time or two, but for over 80 years, it has stood on a foundation of agriculture. A passion for this industry runs through our veins, and our roots are deep in production ag. Our next speaker has values similar to those that we hold in the FFA. She and her husband are seventh-generation farmers who currently work a corn, soybean, and seed corn farm in Illinois. She's here tonight representing the United States Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, an organization made up of over 80 agricultural groups who work to support U.S. farmers and ranchers and to increase confidence in today's ag. Get excited to hear her story and her insight on your role as an agriculture advocate. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mrs. Katie Pratt.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today. You know, I sat in your seats for 6 years in the Blue Jacket, and then 6 years after that, I worked for the National FFA organization. So to say that this is a full circle moment for me, yes, it very much is. So thank you very much for having me today. Thank you. Now, when I found out I was coming to convention, this is for all the alumni members out there, former members, I had to go to my closet, pull out my jacket, because you know all an alumni member wants to be able to do is to put on their jacket and make sure that it still fits. It's been a long time since I've been in this jacket, but this jacket served as my spark. I've heard you talking a lot about sparks. This was my spark in high school, and it has continued to be my spark into my adult life. We all have sparks. It might be that you scored the winning points in a basketball game. Maybe you aced a test. You placed in a CDE. Maybe you bought a truck. I won't say what kind of truck, but maybe you bought a truck. Regardless, we all have sparks, that moment that triggers for us the purpose, the reason why we get up every morning. And for me, this jacket was it. This jacket also helped me get to this point today. You see, as a freshman in high school, I lived not in a comfort zone. I lived in a comfort box, this right here. I had my family, my close friends, and my show cows, and that's all I needed. That's all I needed. But that jacket made me go outside the box. Every time I went to a conference and had to meet new people, outside the box. The leadership roles, the responsibilities I gained as an officer in my chapter and then in my state, outside the box. Public speaking, outside the box. And that's why I'm here today, because of that blue jacket. It gave me the skills and the experience to be able to share my spark. And today, my spark is agriculture. Farmers and ranchers today are sharing their sparks everywhere. You can find them. We're quite techie now. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, YouTube. The list goes on and on and on. We are on television, and this fall, we're going to be on the big screen. That's right. You today are going to get the first look at a documentary that's been put together about the next generation of American agriculture. James Mull has directed a film trailing six young farmers and ranchers. It was made with the generous support of an organization close to my heart, the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. And I'd like you to take the first look.
Most Americans are five generations removed from the farm,
and each generation gets a little farther.
Some people still view farmers as the old guy on a rinky-dink tractor with overalls.
That's not the case at all. We're just like everyone else, we just have different jobs. We're normal.
The core of it is still growing and producing something, but the way we do it has changed.
We've got way more technology. We've got way better equipment.
If this is representative, you have more melons than I have.
The global demand for food is growing.
As a younger generation,
we have to find some way to keep up with that and maintain that.
Farming is an inherently risky business.
It's high risk, high reward.
I've been broke more times than you'd want to know.
If the market drops or sales are getting rejected,
let me see what I can do.
It's a very real concern that you lose everything. And so, what do you do?
It's all at the mercy of the weather.
A few less inches of rain is the difference between a good crop and no crop.
Have you found anything?
I'm not even finding a seed.
Just trying to keep my head above water.
You leave a lot up to Mother Nature.
And Mother Nature never takes a day off.
I live for the future, and so I farm for the future. Because my time's up. It isn't about me. It's about the next generation.
Lots of people talk about how hard they work, but until you know a farmer, you don't know what hard work is.
Basic needs for food don't just appear in a grocery store.
We spend so much time and so much effort into making something happen. When it finally does happen, we're pretty proud of it.
It's what I do. It's what I love. Anybody that knows me is going to say, farmer.
Some days the kids are riding with me on a tractor, and I'm still at my job. I'm living my dream.
Farmland. Family. Farming. Now there's some sparks. And hopefully this film will help trigger a spark for someone to get involved in this farm food dialogue. There is a fire blazing right now around farming and food. People are asking questions. They want to know where their food came from, who raised it, how it was raised, when did it get to the store? And farmers and ranchers, well, we've just been too busy farming and ranching to answer those questions. And so other people have been filling in the blanks, oftentimes with misinformation, oftentimes with opinions not based on generational knowledge or education. The spark that really immersed me in this dialogue, in this effort to communicate the farm story, came last year at a conference. We were having breakfast with foodie bloggers, people who like to write about food. And it was over a great plate of scrambled eggs and bacon, and the blogger at our table leans across and he looks at me and he said, "You do know corn is evil, right? I'm a corn farmer. You know that, right?" What do you say to that? What? Let me pause here and tell you a story. Because I'm a mom, so I have to talk about my kids. I've got two of them, Ethan and Natalie. They're here with me today. They may have been chasing you down looking for an autograph earlier. They got it all filled out. They're totally done with the autographs. Yes, they are. So we're not big TV watchers at our house. But about 4 years ago, my son discovered Ice Road Truckers. Fans of IRT, that's right. At 4 years old, Ethan could tell you everything there was to know about the drivers, the roads, why there were ice roads, what they hauled on the ice roads, the dangers of driving on the ice roads. And his obsession with that show continues today. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Ice Road Truckers, you know that the language is colorful, and that's a good episode. So we've spent a lot of time talking in our house about why people use certain language, why someone might use a bad word, and if I ever hear you saying one of those words in this house, you will never watch Ice Road Truckers again. Sorry, I'm sorry, that was my mom thing, sorry, but that's what I've said. We also, this spring, our family discovered another show. It's one that most of America has already discovered, but now that we've come to the party, I have to tell you, we are happy, happy, happy. That's right. We discovered Duck Dynasty. Now, there is a show I can sit my kids in front of and not be concerned about content. It's safer than most cartoons, really. So one morning before school, the kids come downstairs. Mom, can we watch some TV? Sure, that's fine. Go ahead. And I thought they'd turn on the latest episode of Ice Road Truckers. But instead, I noticed they had on Duck Dynasty. So over breakfast, I asked, why didn't you watch IRT? Didn't you want to know who was up in the load count? Through a mouthful of cereal, my daughter, Natalie, says, well, Mom, we like Duck Dynasty better because there's not as many beeps in it. Out of the mouths of babes. Not as many beeps. Ladies and gentlemen, the conversation about farming and food is full of beeps. It's full of accusations and allegations and misinformation. And as long as people don't listen, and I include myself in this, if we don't listen first and speak second, this effort at creating a civil conversation around farms and food will nothing be nothing but a battle of the beeps. FFA members, this is not an exclusive deal, okay? It's not an exclusive club. Like, you don't have to be 24/7 farmer and rancher to talk about agriculture. No, if you ate today, you've already joined the conversation. You see, I believe that you have a unique opportunity, FFA members. I believe that because you are sitting in a classroom every day, and I know, talking about being in a classroom is a unique opportunity. No, but yes, it is. You have a unique opportunity because every day you are learning about the basic fundamentals of growing a seed, of taking care of an animal. And then many of you through FFA are taking your classroom knowledge and sharing it with your community. That's joining the conversation. There's some chapters I'd like to highlight that are sharing the conversation. One of them is the Marysville, Ohio FFA chapter. That's right. Members learn on their 120-acre farm and then also tour other farms. They take that knowledge and share it with elementary school students, who we hope then go home and share it with their parents. The Flippin' FFA chapter from Arkansas. Now, they turn to social media in a big way, creating YouTube videos. They developed posters that had QR codes on them for display at the Arkansas State Fair. Folks could scan the codes, watch the video, and then get linked to the chapter and the state association's Facebook page. The Stanley Boyd FFA chapter from Wisconsin. They served up a bit of ag knowledge over breakfast. Over pancakes, eggs, sausage, applesauce, cheese curds, of course. Yep. They talked about modern dairy farming and modern agriculture. And then down in Tennessee, the Riverdale FFA. The Riverdale FFA created a one-day animal science academy. They partnered with community business leaders as teachers. The members learned that day all about animal care, animal welfare, and the need for veterinary science. Now, I highlight these chapters because, A, in the past couple years, they've been recognized as models of innovation chapters. But, B, because what they're doing, that's pretty simple to do. That's something all FFA chapters can be doing. In each instance, they were taking the knowledge they learned and sharing it with their community. It really is that simple. FFA members, you are already a part of the farm food dialogue. You are already the spark. But a spark is only one part of the fire. Ethan and Natalie, my kiddos, will you clap for your mama, please? Thank you. That's the next generation of our farm. That's the next generation of FFA right there. Illinois FFA, can you join them? Clap for me, please. Because one spark comes to many more. The diversity and variety of agriculture. I don't care what crop you grow. I don't care what livestock you raise. I don't care what size of farm you have or the method of production you use. We all need to come to the table telling our story. Not yours and not yours. I'm going to tell my farm story. And that's what we need you to do. Sponsors, ag teachers, parents, will you please clap for me? FFA members, here is the fuel to your fire. They are the fuel. They may never meet you. They may never shake your hand. But that group of people, they believe in you. They believe in your potential. National FFA, clap for me. Here is the Inferno FFA, the true blue and gold passion that we need to go out and tell the farm story. Whatever your story is, we need you. FFA members, I encourage you, be the spark. Thank you. Thank you.